T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
On the phone with me for this segment, I have Dr. Michael Finster, also known as Chef Dr. Mike. He is the author of the book Food Shaman, The Art of Quantum Food. Thank you very much for joining us today, Chef Dr. Mike. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Stephen. Always a pleasure to be here with you.
Now, first of all, before we get started, tell us a little bit about your background and why you got involved in nutrition.
Well, I'm going to step in and say it's actually a little more than nutrition, because before I went to medical school, I cooked professionally, so I've always had a love of food, and I'd say it's I'm more concerned with delicious than nutritious, and fortunately for us, believe it or not, you can have it taste great and be great for you as well.
Okay, now I hardly even know where to begin, because we're finding out that food is much more than just eating something. Why is eating the right food so important?
Well, it's very simple, and there's sort of two facets to it, and that's part of my description as a food shaman, is coming at this from two very different worlds, but they're very connected, and as human beings that live in a society, that have a culture, we exist in this realm between just looking at food for the scientific value of its nutrition, of sustenance to power our bodies. You know, that's what cattle do. They graze and they eat grass, and they're not really concerned, you know, about having hollandaise or whatever, you know, top their menu there, you know, in the field. On the other hand, we all enjoy food as pleasure. The history of food is the history of humankind, and it's wrapped in our DNA. And in fact, one of the chapters of my new book explores how the way we process food, the way we process that food experience, which includes not only what we eat, but with whom we eat, where we eat, how we eat, is essentially the way same way we process sex. So to look at sex as simply an act of reproduction necessary for furtherment of the species is akin to looking at food with simply the tunnel vision of it's just nutrition for us. So incredibly important to understand those powerful relationships. With that being said, food is the single most important variable we can control that determines whether we have health and wellness or disability and disease.
Now, what do you mean by food shaman? That's the title of your book, Food Shaman, The Art of Quantum Food. But what is a food shaman?
So if I were to describe myself and describe what I do, again, as a professional chef, I have one foot in the world of food as pleasure. As an interventional cardiologist, I have one foot in the world of food as nutrition. So understanding those relationships, you know, shamans typically can be described as, you know, somebody who would go out and go into the between, go into these kind of undiscovered, unexplored regions and come back with sacred knowledge to help both individuals and the community at large. And that's really where I see my role today, particularly as important as food is for health and wellness, as important as food is in terms of our cultural and societal and relationship value. It's absolutely critical that we try to understand, because so much of the information is contradictory.
Okay, now in today's society, why is our approach to food so misdirected?
Well, it really has to go back with several factors. I talk about this kind of at length in the book, but basically, you know, if we look at the approach of nutrition, which is a science that's a little over 100 years old, it was founded on the principle of one nutrient, let's say vitamin C, one effect, you don't have it, there's a deficiency, you get scurvy, one solution, eat a lime, and you put a lime in your margarita and you can go sailing around the world and you don't have to worry about getting scurvy. And that worked great at the beginning when we dealt with things like that, when we dealt with pellagra, when we dealt with rickets, etc. But anybody who walks into a modern supermarket knows that deficiency is not our problem. our problem is choosing amongst the myriad of choices that we have in front of us. And in the 1970s, due to combinations of politics and really some poor science and some urging at the government, we really set our ship in the wrong direction for over the last half century. And we're finding out that all these things that we thought in terms of cholesterol and fat and saturated fat and calories, that they're not as important as we think. And the final sort of tip of that iceberg, if you will, is that only within the last decade have we come to appreciate how critically important the gut microbiome, those 100 trillion bacteria living inside mostly our intestines, contribute to our health and wellness, disability and disease. And whether we have a wonderful, fruitful, productive garden, or whether it is a desert wasteland, all depends on what kind of foods we decide to eat.
You also talk about the Western diet being poor, but what is the cost of a poor diet, especially when it comes to the effects of processed foods on our bodies?
The consequence of the modern Western diet is that you will see me either in my office or when I come see you in the emergency room with your myocardial infarction or heart attack. So that what we see as a consequence of the modern Western diet is, simply look around us. We see obesity. We see a pandemic in countries that eat like we do, that eat the modern Western diet, the standard American diet, a pandemic of diabetes, heart disease, neurodegenerative disease, inflammatory bowel disease, an entity that really wasn't even known or common before 1950. Now we see commercials for powerful medications, you know, three times within the hour if we turn on the TV. So the consequence of this diet is a chronic continuous low-level inflammation, which pushes us to develop these chronic disability and diseases we're all too familiar with.
Of course, I imagine what we eat can affect our quality of life today, but also in the future. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think it's, gosh, help us. I hope it is not too late, because I'm gonna share with everyone, I'm going to give away my age here, Stephen. You know, I remember the Hungry Man dinners. They were a treat. You know, going out through the fast food drive, that was a treat, and Happy Meals, and, you know, all that sort of stuff. I'd like to think it's never too late. And really, the science does support that, you know, it's never too late, that, you know, changing our dietary habits, much like smoking, it's just never too late to make that positive change. And I think people, what I find anecdotally is that when I talk to the folks and they go out and they make those dietary changes, it's much akin to when I get patients to quit smoking. They come back and they say, "Doc, how in the heck did I smoke two packs of cigarettes a day? I can't even walk in the room when somebody's smoking. It makes me ill to smell that. And here I was, you know, sucking on those sticks, two packs a day's worth, et cetera." And folks come back and they go, "How did I ever eat that? You know, I went back and I got a drive-through burger the other day and I was sick for a day and a half. How did I live on that nonstop?" You know, you don't know how good you feel until you get beyond how bad you're feeling now.
You briefly touched on the subject of gut health. Go into a little bit more specifics about gut health.
Well, if we think about it, what we have found out is this gut microbiome is actually like a symbiotic organ. So it is in constant communication with our immune system, our brain, our cardiovascular system, our digestive system, obviously. And this particular collection of bacteria, and that's the tip of the iceberg, because we really don't know much about the fungi and the viruses and the other protozoa that obviously exist inside of us as well, but they have co-evolved to co-metabolize certain foods with us over millions and millions and millions of years. And the bacteria want to make us healthy because we're their home. So it's a very symbiotic, very positive relationship. But when we start adding things that are unfamiliar, and it turns out most of our ultra-processed food additives, when we look at it, turn out to be toxic, we turn that beneficial bacteria into basically a burned-out inner city, if you will. And so you attract those undesirable elements, shall we say, and you get bacteria in there that then become associated with inflammation, because that's our natural response to those unfavorable bacteria. And there's a constant sort of gang war going on inside our bellies at a low level. It's unlike when you just get food poisoning and you kind of get sick acutely and then you're up and over it. This just goes on long term and smolders for years and years and years and shifts our natural midpoint between an inflammatory response and a more relaxed response into a pro-inflammatory response. And the end result is that we see obesity, which is an inflammatory disease. We develop diabetes. And then we get all the things that are associated with that: heart disease, neurodegenerative disease, inflammatory bowel disease, certain types of cancers, et cetera, the list goes on.
Anyone that's tried to change their eating habits knows that it's something that can be quite difficult, something that can't be done overnight. How do you suggest someone get started with this?
Well, they pick up a copy of my book, Food Shaman, The Art of Quantum Food, because we kind of go through that exact program. And what's wonderful is that it's based on what you like to eat. And it's not that hard overnight. Does it take some effort? Yes. But as I like to tell folks, Stephen, you know, the results are not going to show up until you do. So it takes a little bit of effort to read a label. It takes a little more time in the supermarket to pick out quality ingredients. But the end result is you're going to recapture, rediscover, reinvigorate your sense of taste. You're going to start really enjoying your food, and we're going to eat mindfully, and we're going to get those benefits of delicious food and that positive food experience, as opposed to, you know, just grabbing something at the drive-thru before we even knew that we pulled up and we've eaten it, and, you know, we're on our way home and we're thinking about what we've got to do tomorrow. So we've got to get away from that type of reflex and set a new paradigm, a new understanding of food. And fundamentally, we have to approach it differently. The people in nutrition and health, you know, in the medical community I'm associated with us, they've pushed food to us in broad categories. Watch your calories, saturated fat, avoid red meat. But, you know, any chef will tell you a grass-finished ribeye steak is way different than some pink slime burger you get at the drive-thru. So we have to actually start thinking more like chefs if we want to eat healthfully. And the great side effect of that, the great sequelae of that, is that when we start thinking like chefs and sourcing like chefs and getting that type of food, man, it is absolutely delicious. And you're just going to be happier and healthier at the same time.
So if someone is eating properly, what does eating properly look like?
It looks like the wonderful food that folks can see at Chef Dr. Mike, chefdrmike.com. It looks like real food. It looks like going out to a restaurant and paying a chef for an absolutely, you know, phenomenal $25, $35, $45 plate of food. That's what it looks like. It is not endless kale and quinoa salad. You know, I like to tell folks, there is no salvation in deprivation. It is not about depriving yourself and being miserable. It's about experiencing this wonderful cornucopia, this wonderful variety of food that nature has provided for us. Because if we look at our ancestors, if we trace, you know, the origins of the human species back, what we find is we were never vegetarians. We were always omnivores. We were always sampling a little of this and a little of that. We always loved a tapas menu, and we still do. And I think that's just a great approach. Whatever you like, based on your culture, your experience, your personal points of reference, those are the flavor profiles you can enjoy. But we have to get quality food to do it. We have to pick those quality ingredients. What we're finding is they make a tremendous amount of difference, not only in the flavor, as chefs have known for decades, but now we're learning in terms of our healthful outcomes.
You also talk about getting kids to make better food choices. How do you get a kid to make a better food choice?
Well, I'm going to pull out a little learning from my old MBA days. And as we say, there's a little thing called tone from the top. So however the CEO carries himself and whatever philosophies that they tend to project travels all the way down, you know, to the employee kind of at the bottom of the work list there. And it's, I think it's the same for parents. So what kind of example are you setting? I could tell you You know, in sort of an analogous situation, many times I'm very disappointed when I walk through the hospital, and I've seen this as a true story. You know, somebody had a heart attack the other day. They had to put stent put in. I've just spent 20, 30, 40 minutes talking with them about good, smart food choices. In walks their hospital tray, and it's a deli meat sandwich with a slice of processed cheese food on white bread with mayonnaise, you know, a little tub of salad dressing full of processed, really awful omega-6 oils, and a vegetable that I think actually never saw a sunbeam in its entire growing period.
Oh, yes, that's a great story. Now, how are today...
And lime green Jell-O.
Oh, yes, of course. Don't forget the lime green Jell-O.
Forget the Jell-O.
Well, certainly not. Now, how are the new chefs of today revolutionizing eating?
I think all the things you and I have talked about today, this total paradigm shift in the way we look and understand the reality of food, a quantum viewpoint of food, quantum food, we owe our thanks to that to chefs, these young chefs that a couple of decades ago, you know, under the sort of trailblazing work of Alice Waters, Jeremiah Tower, you know, back in the late 70s, said, you know, I'm not ordering this processed food. I'm going to go up the street to my farmer, and I'm going to buy this heirloom tomato that costs a little more, but it tastes like a real tomato should. Now I'm going to charge my customers more. We'll see if they pay for it. And people overwhelmingly have paid more for real, delicious, honest, authentic food. And by setting up, you know, an alternate food pathway decades ago, we can now look at the outcomes of people who choose to eat the modern Western diet all the time and people who pursue this other course. And lo and behold, we are finding huge differences in health outcomes. So, you know, a tip of the hat to these young chefs, because in pursuit of delicious food, they open the doorway to health and wellness as well.
Okay, Chef Dr. Mike, where can we get a copy of your book, Food Shaman, The Art of Quantum Food?
You can check it out on Amazon.com or your favorite bookseller, or just pop on by to Chef Dr. Mike, ChefDrMike.com, and all the links are there. And sign up for our newsletter and follow us along on social media while you're at it.
Okay, great. Is there anything you'd like to add as we close? One thing that people should know about good eating habits.
Hey, it's all about the viewpoints, and whenever you're looking at food, three simple steps. How is it bred? Is it natural? Is it GMO, for example? What was it fed? Is it organic? Is it conventional? And where was it led? Was it post-processed was it directly delivered to your table? Keep those three simple questions in mind. Answer them when you're picking your food, and you won't go wrong.
Okay, Dr. Michael Finster, also known as Chef Dr. Mike, author of the book Food Shaman, The Art of Quantum Food. Thank you very much for joining us today, Doctor. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Stephen. Bye-bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.